Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
Precision Incorporated is expanding its operation. Let's go in-depth with Roger Brown, CEO. Roger, so Precision has acquired another plant in Kentucky. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, what we did is we were out searching for some additional capacity. We were looking for another plant, and we actually did almost a nationwide search, but concentrated more on the east and the southeast because of the type of product we moved there. And we had competing cities and competing proposals, and basically ended up choosing a plant that was available in Maysville, Kentucky.
And what did they make at that plant before?
Actually, it was a warehouse before. It was interesting when I first went into that plant, and it's a large plant. It's 105,000 square feet, so it's a large plant. But it was actually storing cardboard for a recycling plant. I've never seen more cardboard in my life than was in that plant. When they got rid of all the cardboard in that plant, it was 400 truckloads of cardboard.
Wow. And so what? The cardboard market collapsed, or there's no more cardboard, or what?
No, they were just temporarily using it as a storage facility, and they were looking for a permanent tenant, the owners of the building. So when we came by and were willing to be a permanent tenant, that's basically the way they were going.
Okay. And well, first, let's address something that a lot of people are thinking about here is, why not just expand in Pella?
And we looked at that. We looked at it, Pella. We looked at different options in Iowa. We looked at facilities close to where we have other plants and stuff in Iowa. And the biggest driver in that truly was the available workforce, or lack thereof. You know, I saw this morning that the unemployment rate in Iowa is now 2.6%. Truthfully, anything below 3% is considered full employment, and it's very, very hard to find workers in Iowa. I think most people will realize that when you see the amount of job openings that there are. Even in Pella, if you look at, you know, our friends at Pella Corp and our friends at Vermeer, we're all looking for people, and we can't find people because there's nobody available anymore. And you fight that for a while, and you feel good about it if you're finding the right people and good people. But you wonder how long you can fight that battle. And when we were looking at a facility that longer term, we were looking over a 5 to 10 year period needing 100 to 120 workers, it was not a question of could we do it in Iowa, because we knew we couldn't. We can't find that amount of people for one facility in Iowa.
But let's do the math with the economics. Somehow I have to think that by Precision Inc. expanding somewhere, it's still going to help the home headquarters.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. As we expand anywhere, it's going to mean, you know, our revenue and our sales is going to increase overall. We're going to require, you know, engineers and things like that that are more than likely going to be here in Pella, not at the Maysville facility, because it's pretty much limited to a production facility. So the supporting roles and the supporting jobs that will go with that over time will more than likely end up being here in Pella.
So R&D is still here?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, R&D, all of the engineering is here, all of the accounting is here, all the finance people are here. So all the support roles pretty much are in Pella.
Is it easier to get those kinds of positions filled than it is for people that are going to work on the plant floor?
It's probably, I would say, a little bit easier if you're talking about salaried people and people, not production people. And I say that to an extent. I would truly admit to you here in Pella, our biggest issue is finding younger people. And that's only because, no offense, and people might get offended when I say this, but if you're married and have kids, it's easy to recruit to Pella. It's a great community, it's a great school system, great amenities, and it's a great place to raise a family. But if you're a younger single person, it's hard to convince someone to come to Pella. You know, there's not much nightlife. Most of the families don't care about that. But when you're younger and you want things to do and you want a social life, it's hard to convince people to come to Pella. Mm-hmm. We've been able to find some people, but I would tell you more and more, those people are living in Des Moines or in the suburbs of Des Moines and driving.
and their housing isn't available.
Yeah, the housing at certain levels, especially what I would call lower priced housing. I don't want to say cheap housing because it's not cheap, but lower priced. And by that, I would say if you're talking about anything that I would consider a starter home, that's probably in the $250,000 or $200,000 range, is very tough to find here in Pella.
Well, and city council, city administrators, they're all working hard on that and making some progress.
Yeah, and I give the PACE Alliance a lot of credit because that's one of their big momentum pushes, you know, and it has been for the last couple of years, and they're really starting to push the how do we solve that housing issue because we need more housing in Pella.
More in depth. I continued my conversation with Roger Brown, CEO of Precision, about its expansion. Okay, so tell us, will there be anybody leaving here and going to Maysville? Is there any of that transfer for supervisory roles?
We actually didn't have anybody from Pella, but we've had a few people. Actually, the plant manager that is now in Maysville came from one of our facilities in Algona, Iowa. So he and his family moved, so he's now the plant manager. And then I believe at least two of the workers there, one of them came from Algona. Well, both one came from Algona and one came from Humboldt. So we've had three people that have moved to Maysville as part of this new facility.
So how does Maysville find out that you're looking for a plant?
I would tell you this is kind of an interesting story, and it's kind of a weird story in that our vice president of sales and marketing is Brian Simpson, and Brian actually is from Maysville. So he grew up in Maysville. We also have an industrial sales manager, Chris Hopper, that currently lives in Maysville. So, and he's the sales manager for the product line that's going into Maysville. I was actually visiting a different customer in Maysville who's been a customer for a long, long time. And these guys knew that we were looking. And they basically said, hey, while you're here, let's talk to some of the city officials here in Maysville because we know they have facilities available. We know that they're looking for people, and we know they're really pushing the incentive plans to get people to move here. So really, it started with that, and it started with an initial visit with their economic development director. And from then on, we were able to get the deal done.
So you had inside information about the community, and that's just priceless.
Absolutely. That was unbelievable. That normally doesn't happen. Typically, what we're doing is we have a gentleman here who's what we call our business development director. And he will basically go out and he will talk to different states and basically get leads on any areas that are really looking for manufacturing people to come in and either start a plant or they have plants available. And he will canvass the states. And then the states will lead him to a certain city or an area that they believe would fit what we're looking for.
Is this a place, you say Kentucky, I just keep thinking, are there, you know, and the way the coal industry is going, it seems that there's some people that might work on the plant floor that might have worked in the mines. So there's an existing labor pool where there was a shortage of jobs, or am I just making stuff up?
No, I would tell you most of them don't come from coal just because the coal in that area left a long time ago. But they have had a couple manufacturers in that area that actually have either left the area or really cut back in that area over time. Interesting scenario when you talk about Maysville, and this is how it relates to Brian Simpson, our VP of sales. What people here may remember as the old Browning company that owned Van Gorp years ago. Mm-hmm. Browning has a big facility in Maysville, Kentucky. Brian's dad actually worked for Browning. That's how Brian got into our industry, and that's how he got to know Precision, and we ended up hiring him. So there was a big facility from Browning that was in Maysville that actually, I believe it was probably 10 or 12 years ago, they moved to Mexico.
Okay.
So there was a large workforce then was displaced. They've gone to other facilities, but there hasn't been anybody that really came in as a big manufacturer looking for those people. And they're looking for the right type of job. So they're, when you look at the area, there's a large available workforce in that area.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Roger Brown, CEO of Precision, about its expansion. there must have been a lot of happy people in Maysville when you made this announcement.
Yeah, you know, I would tell you, we've opened facilities and bought companies in different areas. I would tell you from the start of the whole process, Maysville, the city, the county, and the state of Kentucky were phenomenal to us. They were very easy to work with. They were very helpful during the whole process to make sure that we were going down the right path and we were going to end up with the right result. If we had questions, they were very responsive. And, you know, I've told everybody in that area, including the city, we've had such a positive response from Maysville. It's been unbelievable. When we first started looking for people a few months ago, our initial workforce is going to be somewhere around 15 to 20 people. That's going to grow over time. We put out the word that we were looking for applicants. We had somewhere over 200 applicants for 15 to 20 jobs.
Wow.
So we had a tremendous available workforce to look for and some really, really qualified people. So we've been very excited about the people we've been able to hire, very excited about how the city has welcomed us and how the county has welcomed us. It's been nothing but hugely positive from the start.
Well, there must be plenty of market share out there to be had, or you wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could tell you that we own the market, but we don't. Especially this plant, if you look at our business, everybody knows that we make pulleys and idlers, primarily in the mining sector, the rock quarries and stuff like that. The product that's actually going to be manufactured in Maysville is actually what we call unit handling. So it's really for a few more specific markets. One is we do a lot of business with FedEx and UPS. We've done that for years. That business has been expanding. But now we're also moving that business into what I would call warehousing and distribution facilities, which we have not been in the past. So there you're talking about not only the Amazons of the world, but you're talking about the Targets, you know, all of those places that have these huge distribution facilities. One of the real draws from Maysville was the fact that about 80% of that business for us is within, the customers are within 200 to 250 miles of that plant. So that's a huge draw why Maysville was a plus.
Lower transportation costs to the final person. This isn't always cheap stuff to ship.
Absolutely. Lower transportation, quicker turnaround. You know, you can get something that day if you absolutely need it from us. You know, if it's coming from Iowa, it's not going to be delivered that day. So there's a lot of pluses in that. Plus, just access for the customers. If they want to come and look at product or they want to look at some of our processes or whatever, it's a day trip, you know, as opposed to hopping on a plane, you know, and driving all and flying all the way to Iowa. It's a day trip for them. They can make it up and back in the same day.
Well, it's all very interesting. And just to remind people, you make the parts that go on conveyor belts for mining and you know, different kinds of kitchens and things like that.
Yeah, basically anything you're moving.
Okay, so I hadn't thought about it before. You know, I've always thought about, shopping online as hurting our local retail, but there has to be something positive come out of it, and you've taken advantage of that transition to lots more things in the mail, lots more packages.
Absolutely.
Moving on conveyor belts, where actually there's some profit to be made by people and more jobs to be created other than just by Amazon.
Right. You hit the nail on the head in that the reason we're looking at expanding that unit handling business is basically all of the internet shopping that's going on. And it's not just Amazon. I mean, people are buying from Walmart and Target and all those places online. So they're basically building more and more distribution facilities, and it's conveyors that run those distribution facilities. And that's really the market we're getting into and what's growing. And everybody pretty much knows that business is going to keep growing. Now, the interesting thing is when you look into that market, everybody thinks the internet market has taken over retail. The internet market, the last number I saw, is probably somewhere between 10 and 15% of the retail market. Still, 85% of that market is brick and mortar.
Interesting.
Now, that's changing over time, and that's going to keep changing. But as that grows, the demand for conveyor systems and those distribution facilities is going to keep growing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what didn't I know enough to ask?
Well, the only thing is I would tell folks that, you know, what everybody asks me when I say, okay, we're going to Kentucky, you know, the first question you ask is, why not Iowa? And, you know, we're all for Iowa. The majority of our facilities are in Iowa. We love Iowa. We love the Midwest work ethic. We love the people here. And that was our first that was the first choice by far. What could we do in Iowa? I know recently, I hope most people saw, you know, not too long ago, we just bought another company in Iowa. We bought Chantlin, which is in Humboldt. Mm-hmm. So we're into Iowa. This issue strictly became two reasons primarily. Available workforce, which I guess it's a good thing that people are employed here in Iowa. But if you're growing the business and you're trying to look for more people, that's difficult. And then the second thing is it was just the proximity to our customers. That is definitely a plus that we can be so close to our customers in Maysville.
Anything else on the horizon you can give us sort of a hint of?
I feel like every time I tell you that, then I call you and tell you we got something else going on, which I guess is good. But I would tell you not right now. I think we've got enough on our plate with recent acquisitions, with this plan opening up. You know, and I would tell you truthfully, I know people here know it. But we're feeling the effects of the economy and the trade wars, and business has slowed down a little bit. And, you know, most people don't like to talk about that, but that's just a fact. And I think people around here need to be aware of that, that, you know, manufacturing has slowed down. It does depend on what sector of manufacturing you're in and what market you're in. But our part of that manufacturing has slowed down considerably. So we're dealing with that. I tell all of our folks, trust me, business is a cycle. You have these big cycles that are positive. You have cycles that are negative, but they always go up and down. We've been very fortunate the last 9 or 10 years has been a huge up cycle. The fact that we've now had a slight downturn, you know, shouldn't alarm us. Yeah, we got to deal with it, and we will. I mean, our people are real good about that. But, you know, when you're in a community like Pella, I'm not sure you always feel that. But when you're outside of Pella and you start dealing with all of the other manufacturers, you start to really feel that. And especially for our perspective, when you're dealing with the world economy and what's going on in China and all of that, it is affecting us, and it's having a negative effect. The tariffs are affecting us, just like they are a lot of people. The trade war is affecting us. So, you know, even though we opened a new plant and we're trying to expand, you know, there's some issues we got to deal with now from a business standpoint. But, you know, I feel great about all our people and where we're headed and the strategies we have in place. You know, unfortunately, I can't do a whole lot about the tariffs. I wish I could. I can talk to our senators and all those people, but ultimately, I don't make that determination. I wish I could. It would end tomorrow. But, you know, we got to hope that at some point it ends, because I think when that ends and the trade war gets somewhat settled, I think business will come back relatively quickly.
Thanks to Roger Brown for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.